Right, boys and girls, this is the bit before the theme music. I just... Oh, hang on. Oh, I've got carol singers. Hold on, I'll just be a second. Hold on. Wait. Clear off. I'm Jewish. Or Muslim. I don't celebrate Christmas anyway. Get out of here. I hate Christmas. Clear off. Sorry about that. They've gone now. So it's Christmas. God, I love Christmas. So let's just run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Merry Christmas, you beautiful people. Every single one of you gorgeous specimens out there, I want to wish you a fantastic Christmas. I know I said it last episode. I know I said it the episode before. It's Christmas. It really is Christmas. And I'm loving it. Oh, I bloody love it. And I'm grabbing it with both hands. So I've had a few emails I want to talk about. First one comes from Elsie Newman. Regular listeners might remember Elsie Newman. I've definitely mentioned him in the past. He's emailed a few times. And this is an interesting one because my viewing figures, do you remember when I told you they went up by 20%? So instead of having 4 listeners, I had 5 listeners. Well, listen to this. I've doubled my listening figures. Let me read out what Elsie's written. Here we go. 2 days ago, I was sitting out in my barnyard listening to episode 30 and my 5 chickens came up and sat around me. I swear they were listening to the podcast. They sat there about 25 minutes. So maybe you now have 10 listeners. They like Christmas and I always put up Christmas lights around their house. So keep up the good work. Love the podcast. Or should I say like it? I don't quite know what he's getting at the end bit there. I could have done without that. I like the love the podcast bit. It should have just ended. Didn't have to tell me actually he only likes it. But what about that? Doubled the listening figures. I know they're chickens and it doesn't actually increase the download numbers, but you know, the audience is out there. Advertisers, the audience is out there. I've got 5 chickens listening. Yeah? No? No, whatever. Yeah, but thanks for that, Elsie. I really do appreciate it. Another thing I want to talk about, I watched the new Home Alone film. Now, they're talking about it like it's a reboot. I don't really think it's a reboot, really. Like, they did the other 5. Like, 3 of them weren't even Kevin McAllister. They were other kids. And the last one wasn't really that long ago, I suppose. Yet the 5th one came out in 2012. So that was over 20 years after the first one. And so, you know, it's like less than 10 years since that one. Anyway, it's a completely different kid. And it's not that good. It's not awful. Like, we put it on for the kids, but they sort of watched it. Do you know what? I don't even know why I'm bothering. It was something and nothing. It was something and nothing, really. It was, do you know what? This is the worst film review. This is, like, I've said nothing. I've given you nothing to work with. Why don't you go and watch it? And then afterwards you go, why did you tell me to watch it? It was crud. And it is crud or crap. Crud or crap. It's either crud or crap or garbage or rubbish. This is not a good film review. Let's move on. Okay, so I watched it anyway. I'm just telling you, I watched it. Got an email from Lee Mayer and he was saying, I don't know if you remember this, ages ago I talked about Whamageddon, and Whamageddon is you've got to go as long as you can through the Christmas season without hearing Last Christmas. I heard it back in October probably. I don't remember when it was exactly, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was late October. So if you failed at Whamageddon, which everyone's going to, it's just too hard. You can't miss that song. It's everywhere. But there's this another one called Whamtopia, and with Whamtopia, you're actually searching it out. And Lee was saying that he'll be driving along in his car, flicking between radio stations, trying to find Christmas music, and he keeps catching Last Christmas, and it's a great song. So yeah, if you're bored of Whamageddon or you failed it, try Whamtopia. Just go and listen to it as much as you can. And what's interesting is I listen to a lot of songs. I don't think I ever get bored of Christmas songs. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, some songs I'll listen to over and over and over. If I listen to a Christmas song over and over, I don't get bored of them. I don't know. Huh. Another Christmas song thing I want to mention is the new Ed Sheeran one. And I love it. It's so good. A couple of weeks ago, I had Scott and Jay from Jingle Jank on. And I was playing for them classic British Christmas songs. And I was saying, like, the most recent classic British Christmas song we've got was nearly 10 years old. It was Leona Lewis. And we haven't had like a classic Christmas song come out since then that gets regular airplay year on year. So it's nice to have one from Ed Sheeran and Elton John that I really do like. If you haven't heard it yet, I'll play a little bit for you now.
So kiss me under the mistletoe, pour out the wine, let's toast and pray for December snow. I know there's been pain this year, but it's time to let it go. Next year you never know, but for now, Merry Christmas. We'll dance in the kitchen while embers glow.
That's all you're getting. I don't want to get done for copyright, but I love it. I think it's a fantastic song. Go and search it out, download it, do something with it. Yeah, it's glorious. Right, here's one for you. I don't know if you've been watching The Nightmare Before Christmas in the build-up to Christmas, like since Halloween. I put it on for the girls all the time. Juno loves me chucking it on. She'll be playing around, but she likes having it on in the background. And it's one of my favourite Christmas films. It really is, because I think partly because it's incredible. I just could watch it over and over and over. But also, I feel like I can watch that really at the start of November. I don't have to feel any guilt at all about that. But here's the thing I wanted to say, and someone mentioned this in an email, and I think it might have been Lee Mayer, but it probably wasn't. And if it wasn't, I'm sorry, whoever it was that said about it. But the bit on my theme tune where it goes, "What is this?" I always expect it, when I'm watching the film, I suddenly expect a little voice to come in and go, "It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack." I don't know if you felt the same thing. Like regular listeners, obviously you'd have to have listened to a few episodes to sort of get that feeling. If you have, let me know. Or don't, it's your life. So that's fair, isn't it? Do what you want. One last thing before we get into the show. Now, when I started the podcast, it was about April of 2020, so it's about a year and a half ago. I had no listeners for the first like 4, 5, 6 episodes, I don't know. And then I emailed Dwayne Bailey at Tinsel Tunes and just mentioned my podcast, and I asked him if I could play a bit from his podcast, because I'd been listening to his podcast for a couple of years, or a year and a half by that point, and I asked him if I could use a bit from his show on my show, and he was like, "Oh, no problem, and I'll..." I'm sorry, did you hear that? Do you know what that was? That was my alarm going off, telling me that I've got to move the elf. So I'm just going to move the elf now, and then I'll be back. Just going to be a second. Okay, I'm back. So actually, I've got a quick shout out to Scott Newman for that, because he mentioned on his latest podcast, he's got a reminder on his phone to move the elf every evening. And I set one up after he said about that, because one night we got caught a bit short and the wife had to run in the living room a bit quickly and chuck the elf somewhere different. You don't care about that. Anyway, where was I? Oh yes, sorry, back to Dwayne Bailey. So Dwayne said he'd mentioned my podcast on his show, Dwayne Bailey, the host of Tinsel Tunes. And from that point on, I actually got listeners, and it started slowly, obviously, as these things do, but that's where my listeners came from. It was from Dwayne Bailey at Tinsel Tunes. Since then, people have found me through other methods, but at the very start, my first few listeners all came from Tinsel Tunes. Now, bit of news, Dwayne, for a number of different reasons, has decided to step back from the hosting duties on his podcast, and he's handed it over to our dear friends, Scott and Jay from Jingle Jank, who were on the episodes 2 episodes ago and 3 episodes ago. And I just want to say, first off, to Dwayne, I hope you're listening to this, and I just want to say thank you so much for mentioning my show on your podcast that first time you did. He's mentioned me a couple of times since, and I've always appreciated it, but that first time meant so much, and it made such a big difference, and really got the podcast going. The second thing I want to say is, best of luck to Scott and Jay. I know they're going to do a fantastic job. They've already released one episode where they're with Dwayne, and I recommend you go out and listen to it because it's about Silent Night and it's a great episode. It's Tinsel Tunes, easy to find, and it's a great podcast. But best of luck to Scott and Jay, and I'm going to be looking forward to listening to you guys in the future. There we go. So that's pretty much all the housekeeping stuff I've got. Now we're going to start with this.
Feigning joy and surprise, and the gifts we despise.
It's craptacular.
Back at the start of December, I received a lovely email from Julie Sibilla, and she sent me our top 10 Christmas movies, and also this fantastic story of the worst gift ever. So I'm going to read it out now, and I'm going to do a perfect impression of Julie Sibilla. This is exactly how she sounds.
My grandmother was not known for giving the best gifts. Usually they were okay, but
sorry, I can't. That's so rude. I'm so sorry, Julie. Do you know, I thought that was funny. I don't think it's funny. I think it's just rude. So for that, I apologise. I'm going to start again, and I'm going to slap my wrist. Don't do that again, Jack.
I won't do it again.
Here we go. My grandmother was not known for giving the best gifts. Usually they were okay, but not great though. One year she went above and beyond with her odd gifts. She bought 4 gifts for my parents, my 2 brothers and their wives, and me and my husband. One of my brothers and I opened our gifts to find generic pre-packaged food gifts. One a tea set with tea and a couple of mugs. The other a sundae set, sundae cups and hot fudge sauce. Perfectly fine and expected from her. However, my other brother and mother opened their gifts to discover boxes filled with cans of soup, a box of spaghetti, cans of corn, etc. I'm not sure why, but we all kind of focused on the can of corn. My guess is that she probably just did not realise how many gifts she needed, got caught short, opened up her pantry and just dumped it in a box. A few of us had to run into another room so as not to upset her with our laughter. It was odd, but still quite funny. But as a post-it note, I'm not sure if it was that Christmas or a few years later, we were playing a board game and someone was given clues to get their team to say a phrase, and they gave the clue of, "What does Grandma give for Christmas?" All 5 people on both teams yelled out at the same time, "A can of corn! A can of corn!" A can of corn has become the family inside joke and still brings a smile all these years later for the gifts and my grandmother. There we go. I like that one. It was lovely, wasn't it? Pleasant one. No hearts were broken. And someone got a can of corn as well. So, you know, win-win. Julie, I want to say a massive thank you for sending that through. And I hope you're having a fantastic Christmas. Now let's move on and do this.
The Yule Lugs.
I thought I'd treat you there, boys and girls, because we're getting right up to Christmas now. I thought I'd treat you with a choral rendition of everyone's favourite tune. This episode's version of the Yule Log is called Arundel Castle's Yule Log, and it is like a Frozen themed one, and it's on Disney Plus, and it's, I don't know what to say. They're all crap, aren't they? So if I say it's crap, you're like, yeah, of course it's crap. It's, you know, staring at a bloody Yule Log, blooming Yule Log, or bloody, you choose. So this one, I've railed against this in the past, where I've said, I don't want to see the wall, I don't want to see the surrounds, I just want my TV to be the fireplace. This one is the whole wall. It's pretty much quite an ornate fireplace in Arundel Castle with a fire burning in the middle. Because it's from Frozen, it is all obviously computer generated. Now, it looks nice. They haven't got any music playing. It's just a crackling log sound. So that's fine. So if you want to chuck on your own music in the background, that's cool. Because I think that's probably better often than the music that they'll play on these Yule logs. So, you know, you choose your own soundtrack in the background, which is good. Because, you know, if you're desperate to have just this Yule log, if you're having a party, put it on in the background, play your party tunes. If you're having a quiet night in with your loved one, drinking mulled wine, then, you know, play something a bit more relaxing. Anyway, that's up to you, not up to me. You live your life. We've discussed this earlier on in the show about doing things the way you want to do them, all right? Don't come to me. I'm not a life coach. Although I have often considered taking it up. No, I haven't. That's a lie. Right, so, pretty much, it's 3 hours long. It's 3 hours long, right? Pretty much of just the fire. But, right, this is interesting, because like for an hour and a half, it is just the fire. So that's half of it, right? And then, who should come in chasing a leaf but Olaf? Like, he's in and out. He's gone in like, I don't know, 5 seconds, less than that. And he's gone, right? And then this repeats every 10 minutes till about half an hour before the end. So you probably get about, what's that, 7 or 8 times he comes in chasing this leaf. It's the same clip. It's not like he's chasing a different leaf or chasing it in a different direction. Same clip. And that's it. That's your Yule log. And what can I say? If you like Frozen, you're like, oh, actually, one thing I want to say. On the mantelpiece above the fire is a Yule goat. Do you remember I talked about those? The ones that are made out of straw in Sweden and Scandinavia, parts of Scandinavia. Yeah, I thought that was quite a nice touch. So, do you know what? It's worth watching just for that. It's not. It's not really. No. That's this episode's Yule Log, another fantastic feature from yours truly. Now it's time for something else. Whoa, 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 stop, 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 right, and I was talking about this song earlier, saying how great it is, right, what is that, right, tell me baby, do you recognise me, well it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me, like, what does she say in the middle there, what does she say, is it like, tell me baby, do you recognise me, no, I've no idea who you are. What are you talking about? We were going out this time last year. You and I were going out. What, have you got amnesia or something? We went out for like months. It wasn't like a little thing. I gave you my heart. And then the next day, do you remember? You went and gave it to someone else. Well, this year, I tell you, that's not happening again. Right, is that what happened? Is it like she's completely blank? No idea. I've no idea who you are. And he's thinking, oh, well, it's been a year. Don't surprise me. I've got one of those faces. I'm just completely forgettable. Is that really what, well, been a year, doesn't, or is it this one, right? Tell me, baby, do you recognise me? Yes, of course I bloomin' recognise you. We were going out this time last year. I've seen you naked. It wasn't pretty, but I've seen you naked. You've seen me naked. It was pretty, all right? So yes, I've seen, and I'll tell you what, I've seen you outside my apartment, looking up at the window, staring at me, and I don't appreciate it, and I did try and file a restraining order, but I couldn't remember your name, because you're a little bit forgettable, so I almost didn't recognise you. Is that what happened? And he's going, oh, well, it's been a year, doesn't surprise, it's only been a year, it doesn't surprise me. What's he saying there? What is it? I love the song, don't get me wrong, but what is that, really? Tell me, baby, I recognise people that I met, like, 20 years ago, that I might have worked with just briefly. I might not always go up and go, I worked with you for like 2 weeks back in 2000. But I still think, oh, remember that geezer? I worked with him like 20 years ago. And they're possibly saying, no, I've no idea who you are. Leave me alone. Well, it's been a year. Don't surprise me. Or is it, you know, yes, of course I recognise you. Well, it has only been a year, so that doesn't surprise me. I don't know why I asked, to be honest. Of course you recognise me. Yeah. Should we move on? Have we covered that? I hope so. God, I love you. I've been going on about this segment, not having a jingle for it. So, I've done a jingle for this segment. Here it comes. I haven't got a jingle for the segment. I haven't got a jingle for the segment. I haven't got a jingle for the segment. So, let's just start the segment. How's that? What do you think? I spent ages recording that. Ages. And I think it fits. Yeah. Okay. For the past 3 episodes, is it 3? We're on the 4th one now? I'm not sure what we're up to. But Ed Daly, the author of the Christmas book, has been sending me in extracts from his book that he's read out and recorded for us, for me to play to you. And this episode, Ed is going to be talking about The Little Drummer Boy, as sung by Bing Crosby and David Bowie. Here he is. This is Ed.
Hi, Total Christmas Podcast listeners. This is Ed Daly, author of The Christmas Book. Today, I'd like to talk about one of the great all-time awkward television moments, The Old Crooner and the White Duke. In 1977, Bing Crosby's Merry Old Christmas special had Bing traveling to see a long-lost relative in England. So Bing packed up his family, They were all adults who seemed to live at home at the time, and they flew across the Atlantic. By this point, the faded Crosby was wearing a level of makeup you just don't see outside a coffin. There was a knock on the door, and what are the odds? It's neighbor David Bowie. The White Duke seemed just as confused in this special as the world was to see him in it. At the time, Bowie was trying to normalize his image, so he played along, kind of. He hated the song that he and Bing were originally supposed to sing, The Little Drummer Boy. So producers scrambled to come up with a solution. After about an hour, they emerged with Peace on Earth, which was to be sung in medley with Crosby's Drummer Boy. The end result was so bizarre, it was perfect. The 77-year-old Crosby died 6 weeks after filming the duet.
You know, I have touched upon that song in the past, actually. It's really interesting if you actually look into it, because it was recorded in 77. Bing Crosby died not long after it was shown, and it wasn't released as a single until another 5 years later in 1982. That's true, that is. I want to say thanks to Ed again for sending that through. And if you want to check out his book, very easy to find. It's Ed Daly, The Christmas Book. And in the book, he covers dozens, if not hundreds, of different Christmas songs. There's so much in that book. It's not just songs. It's everything about Christmas. And I highly recommend it. Why not get yourself a copy? And if it's too late for this Christmas, get it for next Christmas. Now let's do this.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
So for the past, I don't know how long, people have been sending in their top 10 Christmas movie lists, and I've been judging them and ranking them on which listener has the best top 10 Christmas movie list. Now, I did say I wasn't going to take any more, but I did get one from Dwayne Bailey. And as a thank you to Dwayne, I'm going to read out his top 10 list, just because he's one of the reasons that my podcast has actually got any listeners at all. So this is Dwayne Bailey's top 10 Christmas movies. Here we go. Just a heads up, you might not have heard of a lot of these. And yeah, this is his list. At number 10, it's North Pole. At number 9, it's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Number 8 is Finding Santa. Number 7 is Elf. Number 6 is Santa Claus 2. Number 5, Cranberry Christmas. Number 4, Christmas in Evergreen. Number 3, Krampus. Number 2, Christmas at Pemberley Manor. And number 1 is The Santa Claus. Now, let me give you the good news first. The good news is, Dwayne, I love you. The bad news is, Dwayne's list would have come in at number 26, which is good news for Ed Daly, because he was sitting pretty at number 25. So, yeah, Ed's no longer the bottom of the lists. Dwayne is now. In the last episode, I said it was the last time I was doing it. Crick Jiminy had been at the top for a few episodes, and he won. In my opinion, his was the best Christmas list. This was all building to something else, because I took all those lists, and this took me hours. I'm not kidding, it was hours, and I don't know much about spreadsheets. Do you know what? I will mention this. Scott Newman from Jingle Jank, he offered to run the numbers through a spreadsheet, and I'd already decided that I was going to amalgamate all the numbers from like each film that was sent in and how popular they were on the list, and I was going to create a new list so it was judged, you know, as a comparison with the other list that came in. Not my opinion, but how many times that film was sent in and where it ranked and that. Scott offered to put that through a spreadsheet and, you know, get the numbers for me. I just couldn't. My spreadsheet I already had was a bit of a shambles. There was stuff everywhere. So I thought I couldn't put him through it. So I had to do it myself. And it took me hours, but I've done it. And this now, and I'm not going to explain it exactly. I've pretty much tried to cover it. But this now is how each of those people who sent in a Christmas list stand. This is where they stand in, not judged by me anymore. This is every film. I ran the numbers, how often it was sent in and where it ranked on people's charts. Each film got a score, and then those scores were tallied up with the... So I'm not going into it, all right? This is the proper list now. This has nothing to do with my opinion. This is from everyone else's. Okay, here it comes. Play the music. At number 26, it is new on the chart, and I love him, you love him, it's Dwayne Bailey. Don't hate me, Dwayne, I just told you I love you. Number 25 is Shona Birch. Number 24 is Julie Sibilla, who sent in her story earlier. Number 23 is Robert Nicholas. Number 22 is Ed Daly, who we heard from earlier. He was originally bottom place, so well done for moving up, Ed. Number 21 is Jeffrey Malcolmson. Number 20 is Stacey McKinsey. Number 19 from the Merry Britsmas podcast is Adam Parker. Number 18, do you know what? When I read out the list last week, I skipped him. I missed it by mistake. Sorry about that, Tony. It's Tony Dixon from the cabinet of Dr. Caligiuli. Number 17 is Jennifer and the podcast's mascot, Elmer. Number 16 is Art Kilmer from Cozy Christmas. Number 15, the show's number one fan, is Lee Mayer. Number 14, Benjamin Hall. Number 13, we have Mary Pulte, the podcast's self-appointed mum. At number 12 is Katie Gibson. Number 11 is our Scandinavian-American correspondent, Benji Pearson. At number 10, it's our American correspondent, Scott Newman, and the host of Jingle Jank and Now Tinsel Tunes. At number 9, Anthony Caruso. Number 8, we heard from them last week talking about their fantastic Christmas village, is Frank and Shelley. Number 7 is Adam Kennedy, who we'll be hearing from in just a moment. Number 6, Paul Hudderbine. Number 5, our most valued listener, Eddie Honan. Number 4 is Sean Sotka from the Christmas Podcast podcast. Number 3, Dan Carlson from Burley Boards. He's our self-appointed workshop elf. Number 2, last episode's number 1, as judged by me, that's Crick Jiminy. And at number 1, from the Advent Calendar House, we have Mike Westphal. Congratulations, Mike Westphal. As judged by everyone else who sent in a list, yours is the top list. Well done, Mike. And for that, you win nothing. Like, literally nothing. You don't get anything, Mike. You don't get anything. No one does. Happy now? Of course you're not. You didn't get anything. Well, you got a bit of glory. When you go and tell your friends down the pub. Oh, there's this podcast out there that five people listen to, actually. There's this podcast out there that 5 people listen to. Just so you know, I sent in my Christmas list. It was judged the best. Not judged the best, actually. Should we just get rid of this subject? That's it now. That's it for that whole segment. Never have to do it again. I was talking about doing it for Christmas specials next year. Don't think I'll bother. Not unless loads of people say, can we do it, but probably won't. Anyway, congratulations to Mike Westphal. One more time, I just want to mention Mike's podcast. It's called The Advent Calendar House, and I've never been on it because apparently Mike has a problem with my personal hygiene and he doesn't want me anywhere near his podcast dirtying it up, which I kind of understand. Congratulations, Mike, and Merry Christmas. Let's do this. The last couple of episodes, I've been playing a song from Adam Kennedy and his Creative Common Airs. They've got an album out called Shrunk Down and Literally Living in My Christmas Village. And it's a brilliant album. The songs are so good, so funny. They're all original. They're not like parodies of other songs. They're just brand new songs. I highly recommend it. I've talked about it before. I'm talking about it now, as you can tell. Can you hear that? That's me doing it now. Now I'm not talking about it now. Now I'm talking about me talking. How does this podcast stay together? Do you know what I mean? It's like someone got a podcast, smashed it with a sledgehammer, and then like got bits of sellotape and just stuck it. There's your podcast, have that. That's this podcast. Do you know, you'd think by now I'd start... Sorry, Adam, this is during your segment. I'm admitting to the fact that this podcast is a shambolet. That's the polite way of saying shambles. It's not either. I just made that up. Shambolet is not a word. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly... Sorry, right, we're doing this bit now. Right, sorry, Adam. It's a great song. The song I'm playing this episode is called Bumbles Don't Bounce. If you don't know what a bumble is, then you clearly haven't watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every year, have you? Because if you did, you'd know that the bumble is the great big yeti kind of monster. Okay? And that's what this song is about. Are you ready to listen to it? No? Tough. Here it comes.
Well, there I was just late last year. I was up at the North Pole. I went up there on a prospecting trip. I was sniffing everywhere I go. I met a big man who was hairy and white. He came after me and he gave me a fright. Our friendship, you could say, was slightly impacted, at least until all his teeth were extracted. He fell ass backwards off a mighty ledge. I ran teary-eyed, looked over the edge. What I saw, I will never forget. I stared horrified in an ice-cold sweat. 'Cause bumbles don't bounce, no they just don't bounce. bumbles don't bounce, no they just don't bounce. They hit the ground and their guts come out. Yeah, bumbles don't bounce, no they just don't bounce. Bumbles don't bounce, no they just don't bounce. They hit the ground and sort of implode slash explode. They make a big mess, yeah, I'm talking a buttload. They smush and gush and generally become mush.
Mush! He's mush!
Nothing.
That's such a clever song. So good. If you enjoyed that, go and check out Adam's album, adamkennedy.bandcamp.com. I cannot recommend it any higher. It is such a good album. Thank you, Adam. Now it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This is a tricky one, right? Because this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is apparently, it's like the oldest surviving made-for-TV version. Like that they've got the whole thing intact. So I've got to sort of give it that. This is from 1949, so it's over 70 years old. So when I start having a go at it, it's like me having a go at something that was made 70 years ago. So it's a, you know, it's difficult, but I am going to have a go at it. So this version was made for TV and it stars Vincent Price as the narrator and Scrooge is played by a gentleman called Taylor Holmes. Now, it's very short. It's like 25 minutes long, so you've got to squeeze a lot in there. But at the same time, I've got to say that Mickey's Christmas Carol is only 26 minutes long, so they're pretty much the same length. And this one seems to fit a lot less in than Mickey's Christmas Carol. So yeah, that's how we're starting this. Right, I'm going to run through it and pretty much just tell you what's wrong with it. And there's a lot of things that's wrong with it. There's a few things that are right with it, not many. Here we go. First off, right? First off, the first blooming thing, right? The first thing we see, okay? The title, right? Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol. Did you hear that? The Christmas Carol. Not A Christmas Carol. The Christmas Carol. Right, you've already started off on the wrong foot, haven't you? Really? Like, you click that. I saw that. I was like, well, they don't know what they're talking about, do they? This is going to be ship. And it was ship. I tell you. Proper ship. Right. I'm saying ship there, not the other word that you think I'm saying. It's a P at the end. So I'm allowed to say that. Okay? I'm not saying shit. I'm saying ship. It's different. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah. So it opens with Vincent Price. Oh, actually, no. Let me just, before I go any further, right? Get this right. So the credits, right? It comes up. Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol. Yeah? I'm going to read out all the credits, okay? This is it. I'm going to time this, how long it takes me to read it as well. Here we go. Charles Dickens, The Christmas Carol, narrated by Vincent Price, featuring Taylor Holmes as Ebenezer Scrooge, carols by the Mitchell Choir Boys, produced by Mike Stokey and Bernard Ebert, adapted and directed by Arthur Pearson. Right, to read that out, I didn't read it particularly slowly. I could have read it a bit clearer, I guess, right? To read that out took me 15 seconds, okay? Now, I can tell you that was six different pages that they showed on the screen, right? Six different screens that come up, right? How long do you reckon it is out of this 25-minute film? How much do you reckon it's taken up with that? Right? Just under 2 minutes. 1 minute, 53 seconds. I read it out in 15 seconds. 2 minutes! They could have got another scene out of it. Right? Right. One other thing, okay? Do you know how to spell Ebenezer Scrooge? Well, I'll tell you, it's E-B-E-N-E-Z-E-R, right? They put two E's in Ebenezer. And when I say two E's, I mean there's loads of E's in it. Every other letter is an E. But they've done the E-B-E-N-E-E-Z-E-R. Again, what the... I don't know what they think they're doing. Okay, I don't want to go on about it. Because we'll be here all day, me slating it. And I am going to be slating it, and I am going to be going on about it. So we've got that, haven't we? Yes, we have. Right. So it opens with Vincent Price sitting on a sofa reading A Christmas Carol. Is he? He's got the book in front of him, right? It says, and it actually says A Christmas Carol, not The Christmas Carol, right? Is he reading it though? Well, he's reading something, but I tell you what, it ain't A Christmas Carol, because everything he reads isn't as it is in the book. They've changed the words, they've cut loads out. There's, you know, it's just, I'm not expecting him to read the whole blooming book, but if he's going to read bits of it, at least read the correct words. I'll play a bit for you.
And while most of London was jovial and full of glee in honor of this Christmas Eve, Scrooge had taken his melancholy dinner at his usual melancholy tavern. And having read all the newspapers, he went home to bed.
So there you go. He's not even reading the real book. Anyway, so it opens. Taylor Holmes is there as Scrooge. He sounds just like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. Listen to this.
What's Christmas to you but a time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? Every idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding.
That's like a poor man's version, isn't it? Yes, you know what I mean. Yeah, Lionel Barrymore. That's what I'm saying. He sounds like Lionel Barrymore, but he sounds like Lionel Barrymore's character in It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, Fred comes in. He does a fair enough job, actually. He's nice, you know, does the part, and that's okay. I'll give him that. Right. In the background, we've got Cratchit. No portly gentlemen come in, and there's no little boy, like, singing a Christmas carol outside trying to get some money out of him as well. None of that, right? Cratchit hasn't got much to do in this one either. It's just the whole, you know, I suppose you'll be expecting the full day tomorrow. And so, if it's quite convenient, sir, that bit. And then it cuts to Vincent Price doing a little bit more reading, explaining that Scrooge has gone home. And then Scrooge is at home, no face in the door knocker, we don't get that bit. And Scrooge is at home, and then he spends about the best part of a minute, nearly a whole minute, lighting some candles, just sort of, you know, getting his room ready. And then who should turn up but Jacob Marley? The reason I mention that it takes him like nearly a minute to light his candles is that time could have been used to put more stuff in this. Okay, we've already wasted 2 minutes with the credits at the start. Then they've wasted another minute there just lighting some candles. Anyway, Marley comes in. He's a bit of a weird one, to be honest. It's a bit of an interesting scene. Some really bad overacting by Scrooge as well. And he tells him that he's going to be haunted by three ghosts, obviously. What's interesting about this, right, is some of them, they just say you'll be haunted by three ghosts. He actually says the bit about the first one is going to come on the first night at 1 o'clock, second one's going to come on the second night, third one on the third night, like it's going to happen over 3 days, which is in the book, right? Normally I like that. This time I don't. And I'll tell you why, because each ghost is there for like, what, 4 or 5 minutes, if that? And we're supposed to think that that's taken like a whole day, pointless. Anyway, I'm not going to go on about Marley because I don't really care about him. It was, you know, the way he looks is sort of passable, but bleh. Anyway, this annoyed me. Scrooge goes to bed fully clothed. They couldn't even be bothered with a wardrobe change. He goes to bed in his clothes, right? The first ghost turns up. It's the ghost of Christmas past. He looks like pretty much a monk dressed in like a white robe, okay? And he's like, I'm the ghost of Christmas past. Follow me. And he does this weird thing where he's like walking backwards, beckoning, and Scrooge is like walking towards him to the corner of the room. It's just something, I suppose. The only scene we see of Scrooge's past is him as a boy, and it literally is just a boy just sat there, and he's literally just sitting there. He's not doing anything else. He might have a book in front of him, but he's not doing anything. Don't look particularly sad. He looks a bit bored, but he probably is bored, poor kid. They're like, right, you sit there, what have I got to do? Nothing. He's like, oh well, this is boring. And that's the face he pulls. And Scrooge is like looking at him, and Scrooge says the bit about, oh, I just, there was a boy singing a carol at my door earlier. I wish I'd given him something. Was there a boy singing at your door, Scrooge? Because we never saw him, because they didn't bother filming that bit, did they? Anyway, right, this is really bad, this next bit, because there's no Fezziwig, okay? There's no meeting of Belle, there's no Belle at all, but there is this, all right? This is him still stood there with the ghost of Christmas past when they've been looking at the boy, and this is what the ghost of Christmas past says.
Shall I show you another Christmas 40 years ago? When a fair young girl released you from your marriage contract.
No, no!
Because she discovered you had ceased to love her. Your greed, avarice, and desire for wealth had killed the love she had for you.
No, no, spirit!
Well, he says that, right? He doesn't actually do it. When I actually get to see Belle, it's just like, oh, and there's another one I could have told you about. And Scrooge sort of runs off, goes, oh, no, and runs off. There we go. Next up, we've got the Ghost of Christmas Present, and this is interesting because he hasn't got a beard, right? He looks sort of like a, you know, a big guy in a big long robe. That's fair enough. But the reason I say it's interesting is because the Ghost of Christmas Present is nearly always portrayed with a beard. In the book, he hasn't got one, and I only noticed it this time because I watched this, and then the next day I was reading that part of the book. I was like, hang on a minute, it doesn't mention he's got a beard, so that's interesting. Yeah, I've seen a couple of versions where he hasn't got a beard, but this one stood out to me. Although it actually doesn't mention a beard in the book, the original illustrations for the book by John Leech, the picture he's drawn of the Ghost of Christmas Present does have a beard, so maybe that's why we all think that he has a beard. But like I say, in the book it doesn't actually specifically stipulate that. Now, the Ghost of Christmas Present, his acting's pretty naff, I've got to say, and he only takes Scrooge to one place, and that is to see the Cratchits. And this is quite a large scene, actually. You've got, like, the whole family there, and it plays out like most versions of this scene do. You know, the whole family, they're all eating and drinking and merry, and it's nice, you know, just like it is in the book, pretty much. Yeah, two interesting things about this, actually. Bob Cratchit's wife in this, she is played by a lady called Queenie Leonard, and she also played Bob Cratchit's wife in a version that came out on TV 5 years later, which I covered, I think, maybe November last year. And this was the version that starred Frederick March as Scrooge and Basil Rathbone played Marley. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that episode, but anyway, interesting that she's played the character twice. The other one I want to mention is one of the Cratchits, one of the little girls, Missy Cratchit, she's called in this. She was played by an actress called Jill St. John. Now, in this, she was down as Jill Oppenheim, and she played Tiffany Case in Diamonds Are Forever. She was a Bond girl, and one of my favourites, I've got to say. You know, I really liked her. So that scene's fine. Like I say, it plays out pretty much the same as in the book. And then Scrooge is just stood there talking to the Ghost of Christmas Present, and then he disappears, and who should turn up but the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. The Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come looks like a ninja. He's like... it's pretty much the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, you know, all the hooded robe and all that lot. But he's got a slit for his eyes, so I guess the actor can see where he's going. Like a ninja, I guess. There you go. And he actually shows him three scenes, which I thought was interesting, bearing in mind that both past and present was only one scene each. And we see the Cratchits again in their house, but this time they're all really sad because Tiny Tim's died. Then we see a bunch of like businessmen chatting in the street about someone's died. We don't know who it is, but they don't seem too bothered about him being dead. And then we see Scrooge's grave. That's not really a scene, they just point at a gravestone, so you know. But at least they did a couple of things rather than just one bit for that. That's the end of that bit. Scrooge wakes up and he's at home, and there's the boy in the street. He bursts open his windows. The boy's down in the street, or is he? Because we don't see a boy in the street, we just see Scrooge at his window, and he's shouting out at this lad in the street, "What day is today?" And the boy's downstairs going, "Hey, I can't hear you, you might as well..." That's not what happened. Of course the boy sadly doesn't say Walker, my favourite line. We don't get that bit, and we don't even see the boy anyway. And then Scrooge gets dressed up in his finery and he goes out. And the very final scene is at Cratchit's house, and who should turn up but nephew Fred with his wife. And right behind him is Scrooge carrying a turkey and loads of presents. And he's going to give Bob a raise. And he tells Tiny Tim that he's been talking to a friend of his who's a doctor, and they're going to get him well again. And that's how it ends. And yeah, it's naff, sadly. It's just, I feel like they crammed it in. The thing is, there's me saying, well, they could have added another scene. They had enough time. I'm thinking of, it's probably budgetary constraints rather than time constraints. You know, they could have squeezed a couple of scenes to get more in it, but they chose not to do that because I guess they didn't want more scenes in it because it would have cost them money. I'm guessing. That's just my take on it. If you want to go and watch it, all you've got to do is type in Vincent Price Christmas Carol and up it'll pop on YouTube. And it's 25 minutes of your life you'll never get back. But at the same time, you know, it's a Christmas Carol. Something different, isn't it? You know, you can say you've seen it. And then you can tell everyone how crap it was. That's this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. Now it's time for this.
I'm singing, I'm in the store. And I'm singing... I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
We sing all the time.
No, there's not.
Especially when we make toys.
So that was for Benji Pearson. He wanted to hear an extended version of the intro. Now, what song are you singing for us this week, girls?
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Well, you sang that before. Why are you singing it again?
Oh, because we sang it a really long time ago on the podcast, but now we're grown-ups.
Oh, you're grown-ups. Okay, that sounds fair then. Right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
Hey!
Dashing through the snow, in one house open sleigh, all the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells and bucks are ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing and sleigh in sunshine. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey!
Hey!
Merry Christmas, everybody! But we're not actually grown-ups yet.
So, the last episode, I read out a story from Kevin Church about his worst Christmas gift ever. This episode, I want to read out a memory that he sent me, and it's a lovely one, and I think you'll enjoy it. I'll just read it out as he's written it. It says, growing up, my family was a big part of the Whitby Brass Band. Now, there's a Whitby in the UK, but there's also a Whitby in Ontario, Canada, where Kevin's from. Sorry. Back to that. Growing up, my family was a big part of the Whitby Brass Band, which puts on a Christmas concert every year. My dad and aunt both played the French horn and baritone, and one uncle played cornet, which is a small trumpet. Another uncle plays the tuba, and grandpa played trombone. They were all in the band at the same time when I was a kid. I remember the Christmas concert back then. Mum would bring my brother, sister and I to a local church where we would meet up with Nana and other friends and family members from the band to watch the show. It was a magical night back then. Before climate change kicked into high gear, it was usually a snowy white affair. It would go on later than my usual bedtime as well. So yeah, those concerts were a real treat. And he sent me a random clip from the concert in 2018. And he says, it doesn't capture the true atmosphere and ambience of a full band playing in a church, but I hope you enjoy it. And in the clip, he's put, his uncle Randy is still in the band today, and he's the last from the church family to be in the band. Now, to me, there is nothing more Christmassy than a brass band playing Christmas tunes. I remember years ago, I was walking through the high street, I had some late night Christmas shopping I was doing, and there was a brass band there playing Christmas songs, and I just stopped, and I just stayed watching it for the rest of the evening, like pretty much until they stopped. And I was meant to be out shopping, but I thought, no, do you know what, you don't get many chances like this. And I just sat there and savoured listening to this fantastic band. And I can imagine, especially when you're a kid, that sort of thing really cements itself into you as a Christmas memory. So I want to say a big thank you to Kevin for sending that through. Now, Kevin also, and I should have mentioned this in a previous episode, because he sent me a picture of this wonderful, it's kind of like an advent calendar that he's making for his daughter. And what it was, is a cardboard Christmas tree. And when I say a cardboard Christmas tree, it's about like 4 foot tall. And it's cardboard structure of a Christmas tree, and it's got like holes in the front of it, and behind each of the holes he's put a present for his daughter. And the first picture he sent me was just like cardboard, you know, there it is, he's making this sort of structure of a Christmas tree. But then he sent me another one where he'd actually painted it, and in the background is his little girl, and she stood there looking at this tree, and it's just a fantastic thing. What a great dad that is, to make this 4 foot tall advent calendar for his daughter. So good work, Kevin, and Merry Christmas to you. Now let's move on to this. This episode's recommendation is Dali Dance Productions' Christmas show. I got an email from a young lady called Abby about a week ago, and I said to her, you know, it's a shame you didn't send it earlier, because if I'd got this earlier, I could have put it out a bit before Christmas. You know, we've still got a few days before Christmas, though, so, you know, it's still plenty of time. And what it is Dali Dance is a dance company in the UK, and every year they put on a massive Christmas show. Now, as we all know, because of what's been going on, a lot of the arts have really suffered, and last year they had to put the show online. This year, to play things a bit safe, because they weren't sure what was going to happen, they're doing it online again, and I'm going to read you out the blurb from their show. So here we go. Now in its fourth year and second year online, Dali Dance Productions' Christmas show is a fun, festive variety show with something for everyone. It's singing and dancing with a bit of comedy thrown in, and all in beautiful costumes. The show is packed full of Christmas cheer, from funny fairy tales and Yuletide classics to roaring 20s and festive film faves. There is something for everyone. There is even a special appearance from a certain jolly man in a red suit. Snuggle up by the fire, bring out the hot chocolate, and enjoy a Christmas cracker of a show from the comfort of your own sofa. Dali Dance Studios is a professional company, and under normal circumstances, they would tour local venues performing the show. They're all about bringing professional talent to a local stage and performing in community centres and church halls where people can take a winter walk and see a great show. It's been very tough these past two Christmases, but they're very proud that they're surviving. So there you go. It's an online show. If you go to their website, you can buy the tickets to download it. It's not massively expensive. You know, you buy one ticket and then the whole family gets to sit around and watch it. I highly recommend it. I'll put a trailer. I think I may have already done it, actually. But if I haven't done it already, I'm going to put a trailer on Facebook and you can have a look. Also, the details will be in the show notes. Please check it out, because like I said earlier, the arts are really suffering through this time, and it's nice to do anything we can to support them. And I think this is the sort of thing that's a really festive show that I'm sure you'll enjoy. So check it out. That's Dali Dance Productions Christmas Show. Like I say, all the details will be on the show notes. And that is it for this episode, and that is pretty much it for this year. I will be doing a very, very short episode on Christmas Day, so if you've got 5 minutes to spare on Christmas Day, check it out. If not, I won't be offended if you don't. You know, it's pretty much just going to be me wishing you a Merry Christmas, and I've got another little bit I'm going to play. I want to thank you so much for listening. I've had another fantastic year. It has been a great year. I could talk about all the interviews and all the fun I've had, all the lovely emails. Not going to. I'm just going to say thanks for listening. If you wanted to give something towards the running of the podcast, I don't want anything. You know, I do just do this for the fun of it. If I was doing it for the money, I would have gone bankrupt pretty much after episode one. But if you do want to give something, don't give it to me. Go and find a charity that you think is worthy this time of year. Because to quote the portly gentleman from A Christmas Carol, Christmas is a time of year, of all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. So if you want to give some money to the podcast, like I said, please don't, but do find a worthy charity to give the money to. Now, a lot of you that have just tuned in for December, you won't be listening again when I come back at the end of January, and it will be at the end of January. I will take a slight gap and I'll start the podcast again at the end of January. I'm guessing many, many of you won't be here in January, but if throughout the year, you know what, you think about Christmas, you think, do you know what, I need a bit of Christmas right now, check out the podcast, because I will be here every 2 weeks throughout next year doing the same sort of thing. So if you've enjoyed the podcast this Christmas, have a listen throughout the year if you want to. If not, that's fine. Hopefully I'll see you again next Christmas. One last thing, I don't know what your circumstances are. I said this last year, I'm saying it this year. If you're having a hard time of it this Christmas and you want some friendly words of encouragement, I will be checking my emails throughout the day on Christmas Day. Drop me a line and I will get back to you, and I will wish you the very, very best. I really do hope you and yours all have a fantastic Christmas, and I hope you all enjoy yourselves with your loved ones. I wish you the very, very best. So, until the short episode on Christmas Day, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
I thought maybe at least since I did good in school, maybe you'd bring me a present. Because last year and the year before that, you didn't bring me any presents. Even though I'm a dipshit loser.
Let me give you some news. I'm not Santa Claus, all right? Take a look at me. Do I look like Santa Claus? As a matter of fact, I'm living proof that there's not a Santa Claus.
I know there's no Santa. I just thought maybe you want to give me a present because we're friends.